Some years ago, a good friend of mine overheard a very hurtful comment made about him by one of his co-workers. And for weeks, I heard his replaying of the remark over and over and over again. And over time, his hurt feelings grew and grew. Finally, I urged my friend to go and speak with the person who had offended him just to try and smooth things out. My friends, we often say, "I'm so mad at him. I'm so mad at her." Do you know what he did? Do you know what she did? And then we go on to destroy the person's reputation without the person even having a clue as to what he or she did. We gossip, we backbite, we criticize, we complain, all behind the person's back. Now, I'm preaching this homily to me. Brothers and sisters, did we even think of going to the person first? Do we trust this person enough to talk to them face to face? And then, on the other hand, does the correcting of the faults of another require us to express everything that's on our mind? Are we expected to be people who always tell the complete and unvarnished truth, no matter what the consequences? For instance, do you say to your dinner host, "Wow, your dinner table is lovely, but the food tastes awful"? Wouldn't most people prefer to be treated courteously than to be told the truth? My friends, personal loving confrontation demands sensitivity and directness. It isn't a community event. At best, confrontation is uncomfortable, and at its worst, it's downright painful. Personal loving confrontation entails many qualities: courage, compassion, gentleness, tact, mutual dialogue, and true listening. In our gospel today, Jesus sets down some very simple guidelines to help deal with those who have fallen into disagreements and misunderstandings. Though this is not a recipe that can be applied to all situations, but it gives some specific advice on how to resolve differences when one is hurt by another member of the faith community. Jesus recognizes that in the community there are wrongs done and pains inflicted. And Jesus' first advice in this situation is to deal with it immediately, person to person. "Go first," Jesus says, "to the one who has offended you. Get the facts. Deal with it one to one. Try to resolve it where it exists, between the individuals involved. And do it in love, allowing the other to see in us one who loves." But Jesus also adds a very important note. If that private confrontation doesn't work, then go to the larger community with your complaints, and only then, if these can't be resolved. Brothers and sisters, this, of course, is easier said than done. It's not always easy to call people to an accounting of their performance. It's hard enough for parents and teachers to do this. It's an unenviable responsibility for those in positions of leadership, like pastors, deacons, religious education coordinators, school principals, to name but a few. Not everyone will take direction kindly, and this may be subject to resentment and even opposition. Differences of opinion and misunderstanding sometimes also tend to alienate people. We see this happen all the time in families, in neighborhoods, in parish communities, in workplaces. We live in a world of great turmoil. There's animosity within the church. Citizens distrust their governments. Nations harbor long-standing grudges. And terrorism threatens us all. It's not enough just to say we must forgive each other from the heart. The process of reconciliation requires an admission of guilt as well. Both the one offended and the offender must be willing to be transformed. And as followers of Jesus, we must not only be the agents of reconciliation to others, but we must do our part in repairing the gifts and repairing the rifts, rather, in our own lives. Such was the wisdom of Pope St. John the 23rd when he said, "See everything, overlook a great deal, and correct a little." My friends, I would go so far as to say that the offering of forgiveness to someone is the most painful ways, one of the most painful ways that we take up our cross and follow Jesus, whether it be in Matthew's first century community or in today's church. People deal with their differences in a variety of ways. Unfortunately, too few choose the direct method. There are those, for instance, who tell their problems to a third party and wait for that person to resolve them. If they have a problem with the pastoral council chair, they go to the pastor. If something the pastor does troubles them, they write to the bishop. When they disagree with the bishop, they write to the Vatican. Most often, everyone concerned is frustrated, and the difference of opinion is unresolved. I love the advice Father Gregory has given concerning this kind of situation. He says, Christians don't write letters. They go directly to the person when there is an issue, and they have a conversation. In other words, deal with it immediately, person to person. And then Paul, in our second reading today, sums it up pretty well when he says that one thing we owe one another is our love, and that our treatment of one another is based on love. And the love that Paul speaks of isn't superficial. It's a love that's filled with challenge, the challenge to see the goodness in the other, even when we don't disagree, even when we don't agree. The challenge to be honest enough with one another is to recognize the differences. And the challenge to do all in our ability to heal the other, to make the other whole. Thomas A. Kempis, in his Imitation of Christ, puts it this way. If, after being admonished once or twice, a person does not amend, do not argue with him, but commit the whole matter to God, that his will and honor may be furthered in all his servants. For God knows well how to turn evil to good. Try to bear patiently with the defects and the infirmities of others, whatever they may be, because you also have many a fault which others must endure. How wonderful is that? At Eucharist, we gather with one another to recognize the good in the community and to confess our failings to one another and to the Lord. If, as we sing in our responsorial psalm today, Psalm 95, we listen to God's voice speaking to us in the scriptures and in the events of our daily life, and do not harden our hearts, then forgiving love will make us a people of the gospel, a people of that gospel vision and gospel peace. Brothers and sisters, we are committed to bring one another into the presence of the Lord. Sometimes it's easier to do this than other times. Amen.